spent especially in education with us, Senator Davis, Senator Olson, myself, Stevens, Senator Huggins. We are going to do two matters today. The first is a Senate concurrent resolution regarding civics education that Mr. Rose is presenting, and then later we'll be having a chance to meet some students from Alaska. So, Carl, thank you for being here. If you identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Carl Rose, Executive Director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. Thank you very much for hearing Senate Concurrent Resolution 5. I was here 2 weeks ago with Mary Bristol. She's a retired teacher from Anchorage. I met her last November. Actually, I knew her a little before then, but last November we were back in Washington, D.C. at the Congressional Civics Education Forum. And we had an opportunity to take a look at the state of civics across the nation, and it really resonated for us back here in Alaska that we had an opportunity and, in fact, an obligation to take a good hard look at a civics policy for the state. You are all in receipt of a report, Advancing Civic Learning in Alaska Schools. It was a forum that was got together last spring. And they made a few recommendations in here. If I could just share with you, this is a pretty simple resolution, pretty straightforward. And what it's designed to do is to have us review our state standards, state content standards, take a look at some of the curriculum that is already out there for effectiveness, and take a look at some of the professional development strategies that are being used to see if we can't review them, make some improvements, and make a report back to the State Board of Education as well as the legislature. What has happened here is that there's a growing concern across the nation. If I could just go on a bunny trail for a little bit, I do a lot of traveling, not only across the nation but also around the state, and it just occurs to me, as it does to you, if I don't bring up the issue of civics, we almost never talk about it. Our young people, if you look at the back of this, on the back page of this thing, it talks about democracy doesn't just happen on its own. Democracy is learned. And if we're not teaching it in our schools, then I think we're doing a real disservice to our young people. At some point in time, our young people back here are going to be running a corporation. And I think it's important for us to give them the tools to be successful, to understand not only civics, but the importance of service learning. Now, we have a number of examples in our schools. I don't think we broadcast that very well. So I think the intent of this group is to take a look at what we're currently doing in the state and try to start the conversation. It's critically important that we, as a volunteer citizen group, with the appointments from the legislature, sit down and take a look at exactly what we're doing and determine what is our civic mission in this state. Now, we do have content standards that I don't know the last time anyone looked at them, but I know we focus a lot on reading, writing, and mathematics, and advisably so. But I would share with you, if you take a look at page 3 of this report, it talks about the effects that No Child Left Behind has had on causing us to focus in on reading, writing, and math, and I think to the detriment of some of the other subjects that we offer. I know you've heard that many times. Many of us believe that you can focus in on reading, writing, and mathematics across the curriculum, and specifically with regard to civics. There's a lot of things that we do in the state that would foster reading, writing, and mathematics, but would still be able to talk about the vitality of civics, civics learning. So, Mr. Chairman, before you have a resolution that is a fairly simple resolution, but I think it's critically important. You have people from around the state who want to contribute their time and volunteer to take a look at these standards and curriculum and professional development opportunities and to start the conversation and report back to you, as well as the State Board of Education. Now, yesterday we testified on this bill over in the House. The only change that they had was to change, I think, on line 11. It talks about reading and math. They inserted comma writing, so it would read reading, writing, and math. But one of the questions from one of the representatives was from a supportive point of view, but simply said, where would we put civics? You know, we don't have enough time. Many times electives have suffered as a result of this compressed curriculum. What will we do with it? And through the conversation, I think we have tremendous opportunities in elementary and middle schools to be able to embed civics as part of the curriculum. When you start to move into high schools and you start to talk about credits and credit accumulation, I can see where it become a little bit difficult, but we have a lot of opportunities. Our K-12 system is vibrant and can accommodate for this, and we'd like an opportunity to take a look at that. So, Mr. Chairman, I think that the what this does is it also allows for the Speaker and the Senate President to make two appointments and the Governor to make one. There's a fiscal note on the bill. I had some concern, and I put down in writing that we were hoping to keep the fiscal note off the bill, but I understand if we're going to have legislative involvement or administration involvement, there's a need to be able to address some of that cost. We do have some funding, and we intend to get more funding from outside sources to be able to help this advisory group get together. The intent here is to get people who are willing to contribute their time and expertise to come together, take a look at what we're doing as a state, and make recommendations. We have professionals in the classroom who could really help us in doing this, and we'd like that opportunity. The person who would be in charge, and I'm actually pinch hitting for Mary Bristol. Mary Bristol is the state coordinator for civics learning. She was the co-chair of the content standards. She's in Russia, she can't be here now, and if you hang around with Mary, you wind up doing her work for her. but I'm pleased to do it. I think this is an important issue, and so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm willing to answer any questions you might have.
Well, thank you, Mr. Rose. I always appreciate your comments. So the two things we're the resolution here is to first support or recognize the importance of civics education, but second is to support a appointment of a citizens advisory task force. The date that it's to report back to the legislature is January 1/08. Is that doable, Mr. Rose? Is that a date that needs to be changed, or are you comfortable with that?
Mr. Chairman, I think we may have to look at that date in light of a 90-day session. We anticipate a 90-day session. I don't know if we'll actually meet at this time. So probably moving that back to, a date more certain, maybe the 15th of February, or I don't really know what the date might be, but I think January 1st might be problematic because we probably won't be in session yet.
Right. No, I understand that. I'm not sure when the opening date will be, and we're still debating that, so it could be January 15th, could be January 1st for all I know, but I'm just wondering if between now, if we appoint this task force, between now and January 1st, you feel there's time to get the work done that they need to do?
Mr. Chairman?
Early January of 08.
I think we envision a group of somewhere about a dozen or more people. Initially, I think there'll be some work by a smaller committee to try to gather information, create a reaction agenda, but we see about two full meetings to actually take a look at some of this stuff and allow ourselves to make some recommendations. And then I would say, so a committee meeting to have create a reaction agenda, two full meetings to actually interact, and maybe one of those may even be by teleconference. And then one final meeting after the drafting is done to actually go over the review before a report is made. And I think we can accommodate that in a short period of time. Most of the things that we're dealing with already exists, but I think what we want to do is raise the level of awareness of our state and have that conversation about how important civic learning and service is to us.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Olson?
Mr. Rose, thanks for testifying this morning. I get the idea that there's a level of lacking in the regular classroom of the K through 12 because of the lack of education of related to civics and duties and things like that. Is that what this is trying to go ahead and make up for?
Through the chair, Senator Olson. I think say over the last 10 to 15 years, in fact, if you take a look at the percentage of people who participate in voting, last week I was at the dentist, and the dentist asked the person who was assisting, if she was aware that we were going to have a vote Tuesday before last. This person was 38 years old. Number one, didn't know that there was going to be a vote. Number two, didn't know what the vote was on. and I think that's sort of typical. If you go out here in Juneau, in fact, if you take a look at this book here, there's a quiz in it. There's a quiz in here with just very basic information that we should probably all already know. Unfortunately, if you go out here in the streets and you ask people just on the street who their state senator is, most of them will tell you Ted Stevens is their state senator. And I think maybe Senator Elton would like to rectify that. But the important thing is that we don't pay much attention. We live in exponential times. There's a lot of change taking place. People are working. Both parents are working. They're focusing on supporting their families. And, you know, many times young people don't have an opportunity to have a conversation at their dinner table. I would venture to say that the number of people who are in the audience right now probably don't have much of a conversation at their dinner table talking about issues in their community. I think it is a responsibility to schools, but I don't think we can blame schools. I think what we want to do is have the conversation and make ourselves more aware of our responsibility so we can have those conversations. And I think through our curriculum, the reason we have public schools is to advance the whole idea of democracy. And so I think we need to revisit that, and that's the reason that we're doing this effort. Long response, and I apologize.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Huggins?
Yeah, thank you, Carl. What this sort of reminds me of, and from how many of the students here, anybody been outside the U.S.? Yeah, a young man from Cal Poly, where'd you go outside the U.S.?
I went to the Dominican Republic.
Oh, good for you. And the young lady right here?
I went to England.
England? How good for you. Well, my experience I'm going to relate to you is from Seoul, Korea. In the late 80s, I was in Seoul, Korea, spent a couple years there and had my family there. And a couple things surprised me. Number one was the number of people that spoke English very fluently. And I was sort of proud that I could at least carry on conversational Hangul kinds of activities. But I was in a place called Tongdaemun, which is an underground marketing area in Seoul, Korea. Seoul, Korea is a huge city. And a young man walked up to me, recognizing that I was an American, and said, "I'd like to ask you about Mr. Lincoln." And he went on to ask me about slavery in the Civil War, and we had a very nice conversation. He's a very, very intelligent young man. And I was walking away. He says, "You know, can I ask you one other question?" He says, "You know, I don't your electoral college system for voting. I never have understood that." And I thought to myself, wow. My point is that here's a young man a long ways from Juneau, Alaska, never been to the U.S., probably will be here one of these days studying, or may be here now, but he knew more about my country maybe than I did in some cases, in the way we function. That's a lesson to each of us, because it's becoming more true, not less true. And I'll tell you one other thing. That I was on the school board once upon a time in Matsu Valley, and one of the questions I would ask students when we travel around, just sort of jokingly, trivia things, was one of them was, how long did it take you to drive to Juneau? And you'd be surprised the number of people said, oh, 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever. And every once in a while somebody said, well, you know, you really can't drive there because they're in the road. But it's interesting how little we know about where we live in our state. But my question for Mr. Rose is, assuming we do this about 90% thoroughness, and how do we market the results of the group?
Through the chair, I think some of our conversation is going to be, I think I've shared with this committee in the past, the way change happens is normally you raise the awareness of a group, in this case our state, and you give them something to consider. And it's under consideration that you determine, is this a good idea, is this critically important, or is this an imperative? And based on that discussion, you start your preparation to determine how you would plan to take action. So those four things: raising the awareness first, giving people something to consider in terms of civic learning and civic education, and preparing an outreach I would be doing it through the Department of Education, through the 53 school districts in the Association of Alaska School Boards, and through the legislature. To start to have the discussion, it's critically important that we do this. I think we all understand that. We simply don't talk about it much. So it will be our attempt to take a look at this report that we bring back. It shouldn't be something that's done in isolation. It should be something that's done that we all of us can make a difference and can play a role in this. And this advisory group should be looked upon as a group that will simply bring that awareness to us and give us something to consider so that we can actually prepare for our action plans. And that, I don't want to presuppose on behalf of this organization, but I think the people who are going to come to this group are going to have a lot of ideas, and we should consider them, because I think it's important to our state.
Thank you, Carl. We need to move along. We have two people on that want to speak to us, the LIO in Fairbanks and in Anchorage, and we have some guests we want to get to momentarily, so we will not be moving this out today, but I really appreciate the discussion, and I think it needs a little more discussion. I mean, unless anybody has any different opinion of that. Yes.
Can I just ask him a quick question?
Sure.
Is the level of civic awareness less than it was 30 or 40 years ago amongst the students? And I'll tell you what the question is. Is that 20 or 30 years ago, there was or at least represent the area that I represent, there was no TV, certainly no TV out there, and no radio stations, and who people were and the exposure to the news and those kind of things. I think, at least my experience, is that students nowadays are a lot more aware of how many justices there are in the Supreme Court and who the governor is than there was 30 or 40 years ago. Is that not your experience?
Through the chair, you have some information, some actual data that's coming back that's showing that young people today are seriously lagging behind the older generation and also the generations, their cohorts of 30 years ago.
Here in Alaska?
Nationwide. And so
thank you, Mr. Chair.
The data is here that suggests that we haven't paid attention to it, and it's through no fault of their own. We just have not brought it to them.
I'd ask all of the members of the committee to take the quiz, if you would,
and see
how you do. And I appreciate Senator Huggins bringing the issue of the Electoral College. Anyone know how many electors Alaska has in the Electoral College? Anyone know?
Probably one.
Three.
How many?
Three.
Three. Absolutely right. One for every senator and representative we have. So Alaska has three. Wow, you had a gold star today. Thank you.
He did it.
Let's go to Robert Bassett in Anchorage. Mr. Bassett, I apologize for not being able to get to you. You were here to testify last week, and thank you for being back, Mr. Bassett.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. My name is Robert C. Bassett. I used to teach high school social studies at East Anchorage High School and Robert Service High School, practice law here in Anchorage for a while. And for the last 10 years, I've been engaged in civic leadership development for young people in Alaska and nationally. I'd like to speak in support of this particular resolution and the very unique opportunity that Alaska has now to integrate many fragments that are currently existing in the state relative to the civic development of young people. Many people are confused about language and concepts relative to civics. And if I could, for a second, just connect the notion of civics and involvement in community to the idea of service to others in the community, both volunteer and school-based service, leadership, character development, and finally citizenship. There's no question that schools were founded to develop citizenship. There's been an ongoing question as to whether the schools can continue to do a good job given all the other responsibilities. In the last 10 to 15 years, the state of the work has been primarily in service learning, integrating into educational programming, the opportunity to think about and help others, be concerned about your community, and do projects that help others. Some of that's school-based, some of that's community-based. So part of my comment is to whatever task force is formed, that it incorporate both community-based and school-based strategies. For example, at A.J. Diamond High School here in Anchorage, they have exemplary best practices for civic education. much of it coming in extracurricular clubs. They have a Key Club sponsored by Kiwanis. They have a Z Club sponsored by the Zonta Club. They have a school-wide community service council. They have scholarships for community involvement. They have student government that does volunteer civic involvement. A number of students are engaged. JROTC does a tremendous amount of civic contribution. So I think what we really need to do is identify the best practices that are going on in the state, identify a number of best practices that are going on in other states, and then integrate those and then put them on a website. And that website would communicate effectively to schools, principals, teachers, school boards, what's available for developing citizenship and civic involvement in service. And we also need to involve the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives and the State Community Service Commission, both of which are charged with involving and encouraging young people and adults in civic development. My final comment is, today is National Youth Service Day. I'm not sure how many people on this conference call are aware of that. It's actually a national day of service, as is tomorrow, to honor and recognize young people 25 and under who have helped their community during the last 12 months. Tomorrow in Anchorage, we will give 157 President's Volunteer Service Awards. And those will be the university students, high school students, and middle school students that have done over 23,000 hours of volunteer service. This award is sponsored by the President's Council on Service and Civic Participation. We'll also give the President's, or the Prudential Spirit of Community Award, which is an award in partnership with all principals in the United States at the middle school and high school level that recognizes students for self-initiated civic service and projects that improve their community. My guess is around the state, many, if not most folks, are unfamiliar with the President's Volunteer Service Award, unfamiliar with the Prudential Spirit of Community Award. Prudential has a national website that identifies what students are doing all over the country. They have a student's guide to community service. We have all these resources, but they're not effectively communicated equally, especially in rural Alaska. My final point is the amazing gap that is currently existing between civically engaged young people and those students that are not engaged. And we have a 40% dropout rate in Anchorage. Statewide, we have maybe a 50 or higher percent dropout rate. Studies show that students that drop out are also disengaged civically. They have low civic skills, they have low civic involvement, and they're not going to be participating in the productive life of the community. So whatever we do, I hope that what we can do is close the gap in skills, in engagement, have more students participating in the civic life of the community, both through school-based and community-based opportunities, and hopefully those students will be retained in the schools. Thanks for the opportunity. It's National Youth Service Day, and congratulations to the youth that are participating in the conference call.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bassett. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here with us and to make those great comments. As you know, the result of this piece of legislation will be a task force, citizen advisory task force, appointed in part by the governor. The citizens will be appointed by the governor. I'd hope that you would put your name forward. I think you'd be an excellent member of that task force. Thank you, Mr. Bassett.
Thank you, sir.
Maida Buckley in Fairbanks. Maida?
Good morning. Thank you very much. And when I was civic education, you'll see, is something I feel very passionate about. And when I was writing a draft of...
I'm sorry, Maida, would you identify yourself just for the record, please?
Okay, I am... what points of identification do you want? What information, please?
Well, name and where you're from and who you may represent, if you do represent anybody else.
Oh, well, I am Maida Buckley. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska. And not only do I speak as a private citizen, but I am the state director of two civic education programs, in Alaska. I am director of Kids Voting North Alaska, and I am the state coordinator for the We the People programs, which comes under the Center for Civic Education.
Well, thank you, Maida. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Please go ahead.
And as you can see with my involvement with both these organizations, plus I also teach social studies teachers in pre-service education at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks. I really have a passion for civic education. I'm a retired educator from the Fairbanks, from the state of Alaska, with nearly 30 years of teaching in various parts of the states, in junior high and high schools. And my testimony will come out, I think, somewhat passionate, I hope not too esoteric, but really show why I believe that this commission should be authorized. So I'll begin my formal talk right now. And I thank you for the opportunity to address you. And as I said, I speak to you both as a private citizen and as the state director of two civic education programs, We the People, the Citizen and the Constitution, and of Kids Voting North Alaska. And once again, I strongly favor the resolution regarding the creation of this task force to examine the state of civic education in Alaska. It has been said by our other speakers as well that education in our schools play a vital role in sustaining our democratic institutions. And the best expression of these institutions are spoken in our nation's founding document, the Declaration of Independence. As penned by Jefferson in the Declaration, certain inalienable rights are guaranteed to each and every person. However, education must serve as the key to teaching how to exercise and protect these invaluable rights. In this light, Thomas Jefferson felt that his greatest accomplishment was not in expressing the ideals upon which our democratic society was founded. Rather, it was his founding of the University of Virginia, an educational institution that stressed the decision-making skills necessary for democracy to be practiced. In the same spirit, the decision-making and participatory skills necessary for a democratic society must be introduced in an orderly progression, K through 12, in our schools. To some, school may be traditionally viewed as the place to introduce the three R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic. However, underlying the three R's is the idea of preparing an educated citizenry for the choices to be made in a democratic society. Civic education prepares students for this decision-making process. As our schools become more heavily invested in teaching and testing basic skills, we must ensure and examine if the most basic skill of our participatory society, democracy, is taught equally as well. To this end, I urge the creation of this task force to examine if our educational system is teaching the necessary skills to fulfill the promise of our democratic society. As the closing words of the U.S. Constitution's preamble states, to secure the blessings of liberties to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. Again, I appreciate and value the opportunity to participate in this process through my testimony. If established, this task force can serve as a valuable reminder of the importance of civic education in our schools. Thank you, Maida Buckley.
Thank you, Ms. Buckley. I very much appreciate your comments, and I hope you, too, will consider applying through the governor for appointment to this task force. And if you have the material you've given us in writing, I would certainly appreciate a copy here in Juneau.
I will give it to Melba here in the office. I don't speak about Thomas Jefferson just quietly. I can't speak about him easily off the cuff, but I did write down my words, so I'll give that testimony to Melba to send to you.
Thank you, Maida. I appreciate your testimony very much. Let's see. Just so you'll understand the committee here, I think we have three simple amendments we need to deal with. We're sort of up against the time issue here. We had the young people here.
Do we have copies of the amendments?
As soon as we get them into a written form, we'll have those sent to you.
Yeah. Oh, so that's why we all in the bill?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking if it wasn't anything.
A couple of simple amendments, but I think we do need to spend a little time on just to make sure we get this right before we send it on.
One of those amendments have anything to do with the number of people on the committee and who it's going to be? I see you got five people, and you're saying two by the one by the governor, two by the House and Senate president and speaker. I think we should look at that and Maybe add a couple more people to that, but I think somebody's missing. We should have somebody from the Department of Education designated to be on there.
Thanks, Senator Davis. I agree with you, and that will be an amendment. And in addition, there's another simple amendment that would bring it in line with the House version, adding reading, writing, and math, if we want to consider that as well.
I don't want to consider that, but maybe you might.
Well, you can tell you can tell us why we shouldn't consider.
We have other ways to deal with that, and I don't think it should be a part of the task force. They're going to have a plate full just doing what's recommended in the resolution.
Thank you, Senator Davis. So it'll just take a short time, I think, to make some corrections here. I would like to stand very briefly at ease, Mr. Rowe. In session with this Special Committee on Education, and we have several students here from several communities. Is there a spokesperson who's going to speak to us? Yes. Yes, please come forward if you would. And if you would identify yourself for the record, please.
Hi, my name is Rebecca Farrell, and I teach math science at Floyd Dryden Middle School in Juneau, Alaska.
I'm Sandy Polkey, and I also teach math, I also teach at Floyd Dryden. I teach math, science, language arts, and geography.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us today. We really appreciate the kids being able to come and talk to you guys and share with you this wonderful program that they've been experiencing for the past couple of years. It is a student-led program, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to our student, and he's going to introduce the kids and then turn it over to Ms. Polkey, and then they would like to show you a brief video, and then if you have any questions for them, they'd like to share that with you.
Thank you, Rebecca and Sandy, very much.
Hello.
Good morning.
My name's Eric Hill. I was one of the five students chosen to go to Napakiak, and first of all, I'd like to introduce the four others.
The girl over there is Katie Wyatt, that is George Vasquez, that is Jamelyn Zeller, and that is Kelsey Kaufman.
Eric, could you tell us what communities the five of you are from?
We're from Juneau, Alaska.
Thank you.
This program was designed to learn about the five themes: governance, transportation, healthcare, subsistence, and transportation.
I would like to give it to Ms. Falkenberg.
Actually, I'd like to introduce Sierra Sanchez, who's going to introduce the five kids from Juneau who went to Tuntutuliak, and also our guests from Tuntutuliak.
Thank you, Eric. And Sierra, is that right?
Yep.
Thank you, Sierra.
Good morning.
Morning.
Me and my students went to Tuntutuliak, and we had a great time there. We're going to be showing a presentation later on what we learned, and if I could have you all stand up.
Folks from Tuntutuliak, we also would like you to stand up so she can introduce you guys to.
This is Christy Carter. She's doing education. Behind her is Asia Vare. She's doing health and transportation. Behind her is Carissa Jackson. She's doing economy. Our only guy, Alan Young, is doing food and subsistence. And then over here, we have three of our Tuntutuliak kids. This one is Kathy.
Back and Heather.
Next to her is Philip.
Let them stay there on there.
Next to him is Arthur. And back there in the coat we have Carla, and next to her is Marie.
As part of the program, I'm not sure how to get these two but to leave, but I have the program is run by the Alaska Humanities Forum, and I have copies of, this is the actual program. There are schools all over Alaska, both rural and urban, involved in the program. And then you guys are, we'll go ahead and show you a presentation now.
The kids created this and developed this on their own, so I hope you enjoy it. It's a short 6-minute presentation.
Yep. And then go to full screen.
No.
He went just to full screen.
Oh, full screen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There you go. We are missing volume.
Yeah. It's on that.
So I'm going to go ahead and try and start this again. I'm not sure.
When I saw the mountains, I knew it wasn't Tutuliak, and I knew it wasn't the Pop yet.
I'm not sure.
The volume right there. It's right up.
Nope. Oh, there it is. Okay. But that didn't work. The guy that was sitting here before had the volume going. We started the
whole life and vice versa. The whole purpose was for each who was.
Thank you so much.
We are 5 students chosen from Floyd Jordan Middle School to be part of the Rose Rural Urban Exchange Program. This year, we are able to experience a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
We went to a small village located on the Kushkokorn River, the Pakiak. Katie, Jay-Z, Eric, Kelsey, and I, George, learned what it is like to live in a rural community.
This exchange program allows kids from an urban community to get a taste of rural life and vice versa. The whole purpose was for each group of students to learn about the 5 different themes.
Governance, transportation, subsistence, education, and healthcare are all important aspects of the community. Not only do we benefit, but 5 students from the Pakiak get to come here to Juneau to visit us and to experience life in an urban community. In March, we flew from Juneau to Anchorage to Bethel to Napakiak. When we got to Napakiak, we were surprised to see that there were only about 350 people in 100 houses. The jobs in Napakiak are store managers, teachers, and one VPO. VPO stands for Volunteer Police Officer. Every night at 9 p.m., the VPO runs a siren. If you are under 18, you should be indoors at this time. In Napakiak, they get their mail by hovercraft that goes around the villages on the Kuskokwim delivering their mail. In Napakiak, there's a one-room post office building with 100 mailboxes.
Transportation is one of the 5 important aspects of the community. With transportation, the people of Napakiak can accomplish their tasks easier. An airplane allows the people of Napakiak to transport goods and fly to Bethel. People who have boats can get to Bethel during summers. A car is also another use of transportation. The car is used year-round. During summers, it is used to get around the village. But during winters, when the river freezes, the car uses it as a highway. The hovercraft is a multiple-use vehicle. It is used to deliver mail, and it is also used to drive on the ice. The snow machine is the most used vehicle, though. It is fuel efficient, easy to drive, and is a lot cheaper than a car. Hunting, getting to Bethel, and even delivering mail is made a lot easier with the help of these vehicles. And that is why transportation is an important aspect of the community. But with gas prices up to $5 a gallon it's getting harder to afford running these vehicles.
To get to school, they walk or use a snow sheet. At school, they use a system called phases. They have to pass two phases a year. While we were there, we visited the kindergarten class, and they sang us a youth harmony song. Lunch and breakfast is free, and after lunch, they play basketball just like us. They also have a Yupik class, where they learn more about the Yupik language, so that the language of Yupik stays alive. They also have a Native Youth Olympic team. They have about 20 to 25 people on the team. They have about 15 different events. We learn about 12 of them.
In a pack yak, almost everything is subsistence, which means most of their food, clothing, and shelter comes from the land. Since Napakiak is all tundra, the land doesn't provide them with much. If they need whale oil or whale meat, trading beads, woven baskets, and wood is their solution. For food, they pick berries, ice fish, and hunt. Berries are good for making agutak, Eskimo ice cream. In the winter, people go ice fishing. They use Mata's bait and an ice auger to drill a hole. For hunting, you can bag caribou or sea or moose. To help us understand how to survive, the Yupik elder showed us many interesting techniques for the harsh weather. Exercise to keep warm and prevent hypothermia. Tip over your snow machine to block the wind. When wet, stick moss in your clothing to soak up the water, and always stay under the snow because it's always 32 degrees.
The healthcare in Pakiak for a hunting injury is stabilizing the injury if it's major and ship them off to Bethel. The major injuries are broken bones and concussions from falls. There aren't any doctors or nurses. They only have health aides. They have a delivery room, a waiting room, and a small office. The delivery of babies can happen in two places, home or the clinic. For teeth, a dentist goes to Bethel from Anchorage, and the people from the Pakiak go to Bethel.
I would like to apologize, first of all. We did not introduce the teachers from Napakiak and from Tentatuliak. From Tentatuliak, our teacher is Greg Perrier, and from Napakiak, we have Ken Bodily. And I apologize for not doing that earlier.
Young teacher.
Okay, you ready?
Are you going to put a desk in?
You know what? It's.
Okay, I'll come in time. So what we'd like to do right now is open it up to you guys for some questions if you'd like to ask them, and then we would like to introduce our students that we are hosting now and that our kids got to stay with. Any questions?
Well, thank you very much. I've got to say that the Rose Urban program through the Last Humanities Forum is a tremendous thing, and I think that the Humanities Forum has done a tremendous job in offering that. Let me just ask a question. How many of you who are from urban Alaska, those of you who live here in urban Alaska, maybe Juneau, how many of you from urban Alaska have ever had a chance to go to rural Alaska, to a small community before? Anyone ever had a chance to do that?
That's why I've had it before.
You live there, yeah. And how about from those of you from rural Alaska, from the small villages, how many of you have ever had a chance to go to urban Alaska? Yeah, several of you. So I think that's my point, is that many kids from small communities get a chance to go to Anchorage in the big city, but many kids from urban Alaska very seldom get a chance to go out and see what life is like in rural Alaska. And I really appreciate that. I think it opens up, it makes Alaskans realize how big this state is. And let's see, any questions of the of our students? Anybody have any comments or questions?
It was a very good presentation that you did. I want to know how you chose the village that you would go to.
Well, actually, the village was chosen through the Rose Exchange, and they called us up and said, we have a compatible school. Would you be interested? And our principal, of course, jumped on it. And we're very fortunate because Floyd Dryden has two sister schools, and we're looking forward to having a third sister school. Seventh graders learn about their state, and so this is part of that curriculum. So it just fits really well, you know, fits in really well. So hopefully we'll get the opportunity to have a third, sister school and be able to share that with more students, because this program is important to, they just learned so much about similarities and differences that we all share in our own state. And, having the students from, rural Alaska come in and especially coming to the capital and seeing how our governance runs is really important to them, and how their local representatives service their communities is important.
Yes.
Yes.
May I continue?
Senator Davis.
Thank you very much. That's a very good idea. They have seventh graders or maybe even sixth graders, but in my city, most of the time, they always send high school students. The exchanges with high school, and I'm certainly going to go back and share that information so that maybe we could pick up some younger students to participate in that program.
Well, actually, what I should have said is they do also have a high school program.
I understand that you do. That's what I say. We only have the high school program and don't take the younger children.
Thank you, Senator Davis. Senator Huggins?
Thank you. For the students from rural Alaska, my wife is the principal of the school in Mat-Su, and this coming week some students are coming from Point Hope. But after the school day, could you give me some ideas of the sorts of things that and experiences you're looking forward to in the Juneau area to learn? And because my wife says, what am I going to do? Because we have two students going to be staying in our house. And she said, what am I going to do with these guys after school? So any ideas of things you'd like to do after school time?
Been very busy, so what have you done after school?
Arthur, how about you? Somebody.
I guess we haven't done anything.
No, we've got an answer.
Okay,
yes, sir. Go ahead.
We go.
Yeah.
Swimming, basketball, and McDonald's. Bowling,
you name it.
Movie.
Oh, very good.
Other stuff. And museum. Went to a museum. University.
All right.
Oh, very good. Very good. I'm sorry, and what's your name, please?
Robert Nick.
Robert, what kind of snow machine you ride?
It's called Ski-Doo.
Ski-Doo? So do I. Very good for you. Good for you.
Well, thank you so much. And further concluding comments that our Senator Olson, did you have?
Actually, I was going to ask, how long did they stay out in the villages?
How long did they stay out? We stayed for 6 days.
6 days? Did you go to any other communities like Napaskiak up the river from Napaskiak or over from Eek from the people went to Juliet?
Yeah, we went to Oscarville.
Oh, you went to Oscarville? Oh, the big city of Oscarville. They wouldn't have a runway there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're across the river from Napaskiak.
Well, thank you very much. We're very, very, very proud of you and proud of what you've done and proud of the whole program, the Rose Urban Program, Urban-Rural Program that the Humanities Forum funds. So thank you very much. Any concluding comments you'd care to make?
Could we introduce our students?
Yes, please.
Kate, want to introduce the students?
Okay. We have Carl, Andrew, Robert Nick, Ryan Nick, Laren,
Well, thank you for visiting the Capitol and seeing what we do. I hope we'll have a chance to look around and see what goes on today. And in conclusion, I'd just like to say we applaud you. Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.